All right, Pastor.
All right, thank you.
Go for it.
Put this right here. All right, all right, well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Let's open up in a word of prayer. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I'm honored to. Father, we thank you today for these great group of men today, for your chosen sons in the earth. Father, we pray that we can pause and just that inhale your presence, that this Wednesday is not just any Wednesday. It's a Wednesday that we pause and just appreciate your knowledge, your wisdom, your love in the community of brothers.
Yes.
Pray that you just bless this our time together, God. Give me clarity of thought, precision of speech today.
Yes.
Let me encourage all to my brothers in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, gentlemen, so I just want to, in the time we have together, just kind of share with you where I am, what I'm working on this year, what I'm encouraging the men in my life to work on as a start of a new year. And I think this is going to encourage you. I'm encouraged by it. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 is what I want to kind of read a little bit. And then we're going to kind of dive into our thought for this morning. Again, it's good to be here today. I'm honored that Jeremy would consider me to come and talk to you guys, these upper echelon of men here today. It says this, John says, "But you belong to God, my dear children, and you have already won a victory over those people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." And just for a thought, or just for a little while, what I'm trying to share with brothers and people alike is to remind them of the God deposit inside of them. And that is the Spirit of greatness. I think oftentimes we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. And what happens, that activates a devalue, a underappreciation of all that God has in store and placed inside of us as a deposit. He calls us great not because of our talents, our gifts, our abilities, our monies. But he calls us great because the Holy Spirit has deposited something inside of us. And the Word tells us that greater is that Spirit that is in us than the spirit of the world. It gives a contrast between what's in the world and what's inside of you. And oftentimes there's not a full appreciation of how powerful the God deposit is inside of us. So what happens is we go through life or go through the journey of God to get to heaven without having a real impact or understanding of the demigods we are in the earth. Now don't get nervous when I say this. I ain't talking about Marvel Kombat or nothing like that. I'm talking about how God has placed in his sons something special.
Amen.
And if you don't believe that you're special, then you are devaluing yourself. Why are you special? You carry the answer. You carry the anointing of God on your life. You carry the word of God on your life. You carry what it takes to be a world changer. You're not just no ordinary brother.
Amen. Right?
Amen. Ordinary man. There's a God deposit. That's greatness inside of you.
Amen.
And the scripture says that we already won the victory over those people. What people? Those people. Those people who live separated from God's fate in the world.
Yes.
So the goal is to encourage you, as I'm encouraged, to really activate that greatness inside of my life. And it's not to make Daniel great, but it's to understand that when I'm out the way, greatness comes through me. And when he comes through me, all I have to do is show up and love everybody. Show up and allow God to speak to me and through me for the people around. So they can ask the question, man, I want to know the God that brother knows right there.
Amen.
Versus asking or having the understanding that something ain't quite right in that brother's love walk. Because when I spend time with him, I don't get God from him. I get something else.
Yeah.
And when he speaks, I get something else.
Yeah.
When he's around, I get something else. Right? So how do I really understand what it takes to activate that?
Yes.
And the first thing that come to me was the word consistent. Okay? Being consistent about my thought life. And you know, gentlemen, all of us in this room are consistent at something, okay? You know, we're consistent about getting our phones in our hand every morning. If you got good hygiene, you're consistent about brushing your teeth. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
If you're consistent, you know, we consistently eat things that are not healthy for us. We consistently do these things, these behaviors that are not necessarily proper. So to say that we're not consistent is not true. We are all consistent. It's just to define what we're consistent at.
Yeah.
And then be able to evaluate that behavior and understand the devil is in the details. The devil is in the behavior of a person. Now, when I talk about behavior, I'm talking about an involuntary act that you and I do that we don't even think about. In other words, it's so second nature to have this behavior ingrained in our mindset that we don't have to think about it. Okay? If you have anybody been to the doctor, I'm 45, just made 45, so I got to do some things in my life, and there's a doctor who wants to give me a colonoscopy. I've been praying for him. You shouldn't do that to a man. But I'm praying for the Joker, that he gets saved before he check me out, right? I've been praying, Joker. And I don't think I'm going to even look at him after we're done with that. I think it's going to be over after that. It's going to be a one-night stand if you don't talk about it. But you understand that this behavior is involuntary. It is something that I just go on with my day about. And therefore, there's no focus on being consistent in activating God's gene in our life, God's mindset in our life. We go through the motions and we develop a thought of patterns that creates a behavior. The doctor necessarily, whenever he checks you, he gets this little thing out, I forget what you call it, a little thing where he taps your reflexes. And when he taps that knee automatically kicks without thinking. But sometimes or oftentimes our behavior is so ingrained into one way that we kick without thinking.
Mm. Absolutely.
So how do we understand and grab that mindset about ourselves so that we can have a shift in our lives? I'm convinced that, with all kindness and respect to my brothers here, that the Wednesdays and the Tuesdays and the Thursdays and the Fridays and the Saturdays and the Sundays, it's so easy for that to become behavior that that's not any real change in my life, because I'm so accustomed of going through my routine of my Bible studies that when I leave here, what is pondered in my mind is, was it a good message? How is it good? What makes the message good? For every message is only good as what you're willing to apply in your life.
Yeah,
that's right.
If not, you wait for the next opportunity to be entertained.
That's good.
All right? So it's like, when am I going to pause and get off the rocking chair of my life?
Yeah.
And begin to say, hey, I need to activate what's inside of me for the greater purpose of mankind, for the greater good of the kingdom. And I need to allow God to show me all the things he deposited inside of me.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
Amen, somebody. And understanding that our behavior is our habits, it's nearly completely involuntary. You don't think about what you do, you just do it.
Yes,
right. Now eat the meat without the bones. Gentlemen, but honestly, if there's not a thought on your thoughts, then we going through the motions of life. I literally tell my brain, shut up. I tell my mindset, slow down. I ask the question, what's taking real estate in my thought life?
Yeah.
What am I pursuing? What am I pursuing every day I wake up?
Yeah.
If I'm not waking up to be better than yesterday, then I somehow have missed the mark. And so getting the Christian to live with a higher level of intensity, expectation, and hope, getting the believer to live with a type of energy and positivity that says, I'm going to allow God to use me mightily every day that I wake up.
Yes.
If you consistently think that, then you are on your way to now accomplishing God's will in your life versus just the hope to get to heaven. We need to activate the mindset of bringing heaven here to here. Jesus' prayer was in our Father. That thou Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is not God's responsibility. It is your responsibility to allow God to do it through you so he can work the manifestation in front of us.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But if my mindset is not there consistently on what God is trying to do in my life, then I'm allowing my behaviors to govern my life without thinking.
Yeah.
So now I'm on a motion of living my life, doing the same thing, that I fall into routine, and now I'm into routine, and I'm not now affecting God. I'm doing what I want to do or what I think is important to do.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you know, we talked about habits, consistency. You know, this is important to grasp that the enemy is inside of our habits. How do you know? Corinthians 2, verse 2 and 11 talks about Satan. And it says this, Paul in his writing. Paul was so amazing. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage over us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Okay. Now, when I read that, I think about the enemy, okay? Somebody say enemy.
Enemy.
You know, I realize that the devil is not chasing us around with a pitchfork. Not the devil you see in Hollywood. The devil works in such an undetected way, by the time you realize he deceived you, you've been deceived.
That's exactly right.
Can I be honest? This is on tape, Dexter?
Yeah, you got it.
Well, listen, y'all forgive Pastor DK, God, dog. I'm going to tell you the truth up in here.
All right.
You know, working on increasing my prayer life, increasing my meditation, increasing my focus. I was on my cell phone just the other day. And so one of my habits or creating a consistency that I'm building upon is my 3 times a day prayer. All right? You know, Daniel prayed 3 times, morning, noon, and night. That is kind of my custom of prayer. If I can, I get on my knees 3 times a day. If I find a moment, don't take long, get on my knees and I pray. I acknowledge God, I invite him in. And I pray myself to sleep every night. This is what's been I pray until I go to sleep. And sometimes the best sleep ever, better than them little gummies y'all take or the monotone. What's wrong with y'all? Messing with y'all. I pray myself to sleep. I pray until my mind shuts off and I sleep.
That's good.
I wake up in the morning. The first thing I do consistently is not grab my phone. I look up to God and say, Jesus, thank you for another life, another day.
Amen.
Thank you for the strength. Thank you for all that you have allowed me to do. I thank God for being with my boys. I'm very active in their life. I got caught up in a trap. My phone suggested some stuff.
Yeah.
Some women on my phone. Mm-hmm. And it started out, lady in the gym working out. Now y'all gonna get quiet on me. Don't look at me crazy. I ain't coming back next time. It was what they call a suggested reel on my phone. So what I do is, I go in there because my son has my phone. My wife has my passcode. My son has my passcode. There's no secrets. So I go in there and I try to be smart. I click on the video to click on the 3 dots to block it. Not knowing, I activated the algorithm.
Yeah.
So it suggested videos of women working out. With workout thing on my phone. So I'm in here fighting the phone. I'm blocking everything. I say, God, dog, and I'm mad at this thing. I'm going to throw it away. And last night, when I go to close my eyes, I grab my phone to look over my scriptures for this morning. And the first thing was on there, a woman on the treadmill running. I'm trying to help y'all who listening. Everybody in this room perfect, but you listen, I'm trying to help you. And the enemy set up a trap that before I can close my eyes and pray, he gave me an image.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, the enemy is not really chasing us with pitchforks. Mm-hmm. He's looking for opportunities when we are inconsistent or when we're vulnerable to give room and place to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even when we're not making provisions for the flesh.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, we do make provisions for the flesh, right?
Right.
But when we're even not that, he's thinking to get us. Why is that important? That we know that the enemy, we shouldn't be ignorant to the enemy's devices. Pause, Pastor DK. Whenever we are unaware of our habits, the way that we walk, the way that we talk, the structural or instructional integrity of our lives, we're unaware of the motion of our movement, and we invite the enemy to seduce us, attack us, and try, and set us up. And the less structure you are in your life, come here, the more you give room to God for the enemy to intervene and mess with you.
Yeah.
What do I mean structure? If you don't have a time that you go to bed, you don't have a time that you wake up, you don't watch what you eat, you don't watch who you talk to, you don't watch what you look like, you're inconsistently inviting the enemy into your life by being inconsistent in your structure.
That's good.
So when I tell men what time you go to bed, what time you wake up, what are you focusing on? What are you working on? If you're not working on something, the enemy's working on you. And so we are designed by God to be a productive, fruitful, faithful, fruitful man of God in the earth. It starts with our habits. It starts with us being consistent. It starts with us understanding that God never changes. That he is faithful to us. He loves us when we're good, and he loves us when we're bad. He's consistent. You know, Numbers tells us, in Numbers 23 and 19, it says, God is not human that he should lie, nor a human being that he should change his mind. He's not like man. He's consistent to love us. Every morning we get grace and mercy. Every morning we get new mercies. Every morning God is throughout our day, he's keeping us every minute, every second of every minute of every hour.
Yep.
Isn't he faithful?
Yeah.
Amen. So what are we trying to accomplish here? The notion is that I need to be consistent at my pursuit in Christ. I need to know that God has given me something inside of me that before I even realized I was pregnant with it, he deposited inside of me. He thought that you would be good enough to give you something before you realized you had it. Think about that. It's like giving you a perfect credit score before you can build your character. It's like giving you something. And when you wake up, you realize you got this thing. You say, man, I've been walking, carrying something inside of me I did not know that I had until I got in purpose, until I got in position, until life paused me enough to say, I've been doing my own thing for a long time. I need to do the God thing. And all of a sudden, he activates through you and in you and for you his will to do what he called you to do in the earth. And it's not just coming to things like this. Things like this are wonderful. They're for equipping. So you can go out and be fruitful.
Yeah.
Go out and be faithful. Right? That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these are the things I want to give you. And I'd be out of your way. Three things that we need to be consistent. Behavior. I'm gonna give you three things that we need. And this is what I've been sharing to my brothers and our church and other men. This is where I am. This is where I'm parking and chilling. This is where I back that thing up. All right? Are you ready? Three things. Number one, we need to be a learner always. Whenever you fail to learn, then you're putting yourself in a position to where you're going to lean on your own understanding. A wise man knows that he knows nothing. Every day, I wake up like I'm the dumbest thing on God's earth. So God can give me something. And I'm not now overpowering God with my mind and my thought life. I'm not overpowering him with my accomplishments or my Bible scripture. Here, let me be honest with you. We don't know nothing about scripture.
That's right.
Scripture by itself is inexhaustible. We get to get a little bit of scripture through God's logos word and his rhema word. At the end of the day, we still got to stay humble before scripture. So scripture can teach us what God is saying. We got to continue to be learners. Look what the writer, Abraham Spencer, says. He said, the great aim of education is not knowledge, but action. You might say action.
Right.
The reason why I want to learn more so I can take some action in my life. Are you catching what I'm putting out?
Yeah.
I come to Bible studies and I take notes so I can take some actions in my life. You know, one thing we don't need is more information. We are full with information. You carrying a computer in your hand everywhere that you go. This thing can get you information from Africa to Egypt to the other side of Mamou, God darn it. You just got to research it. But it's not more learning, it's action to what we learn. Jesus says that we are forever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Why did he say that? Because the believers were lazy. They were entertained with tickling ears, not producing God's will in the earth. So how do I wake up in 2025 and say, man, I know that God put some greatness inside of me. What do I do? Make yourself available to be a sponge every day you wake up.
Amen.
And don't infringe your thinking on somebody else.
Absolutely.
Invite God to give you thoughts, insights, Holy Spirit led, order your steps, and get out the way. When you get out the way, that doesn't mean that you don't do nothing. That means you go with authority and the direction God has called you to go in, and you wait for God to blow your mind in the direction that you're going. The steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Why are you trying to control your day?
Yeah.
When we should be flowing with the Holy Spirit in our day. What am I doing? I'm always learning. And number two, not only am I always learning, I'm inviting people to be mentors in my life. I just got me, yesterday was a great day. I just sat down with an educational mentor. I decided I want to finish up some education. I got some seminary, I got some college, but I never finished anything. I never finished my school education. So I sat down with an educational mentor. And he was talking to me about the steps we need to take, and the president of this college, I'm going to give him a call. And D. Cameron said, he's trying to get me a favor. That's what he's trying to do. I said, oh, I don't want no favors, God dog. I want to do the work. I want to study. I ain't going to pay for no doggone degree. I want to write my own paper. You know what I'm talking about, German? Amen. Get out of here, German. I want to do the work. I don't want no favors. I want to go online and do the classes. I don't want no shortcuts. I want to finish my degree. He said, okay, I'm going to get you set up. Now he's educating me, mentor, educating in investment, mentorship in marriage, mentorship in money, mentorship in emotional. I'm being mentored all around. I'm preparing a circle of accountability in my life that I can flow in God's greatness. You understand what I'm telling you?
Amen.
Low-thinking people can't understand this because they think life, or they think they got their life all together. I don't need nobody telling me what to do. Can I tell you? I tell you in your face. You need somebody telling you what to do.
Amen.
Every great man submits to authority.
Amen.
Every man in the Bible had somebody they submit to. If you can't submit to nobody, you're a problem. Your ego is too big.
Pride.
There you go. Pride. Come teach the lesson. Pride. And what happens, that ego disqualifies you wherever you go.
Yep.
You can be here. You can be there. You can be here. And then you get mad at people, but really your pride, your ego disqualify you because you're not a learner and you cannot be coached, pastored, or mentored.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you are critical, critical of everything because something has got in your heart about what you think it should be when the focus should be greatness that's deposited inside of you. Number three, shared accountability. Let me give you this here, a part of mentorship. Most successful people are the ones who are willing to hire, invite the best coaches and trainers in their life. This billionaire by the name of Harvey Mackey, he wrote in a book, he says, I have hired me a mentor, which is kind of what I just said, in every area of my life. So I know that I can lean upon people who are better at things in areas that I'm not at. Shared accountability means that you know, let me switch gears here on this part because somebody say shared accountability. Because that's such a great God deposit in all of us. Believe me when I say this. There's a great God deposit inside of you. Scripture says that. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God has given you something great? It's not a trick question. Do you believe it or not?
Yes.
Yeah.
So with that greatness, that deposit from God inside of us, we're going to need some people in our life to help us to have some guardrails and to pull it out of us.
Amen.
And this thinking is this. Who are the men in my life that's keeping me upward?
Yeah.
You know, if you ever traveling down, I was in California and at Jay's ranch with my son. And as you were as you're traveling down the mountains, you see a whole row of trees that they planted. Bad fires in California, in case you guys knew that. But when they plant the trees, there's always two stakes in the ground and a rope tied to each side. My son DJ said, why did they put the ropes and two stakes in the ground each side of the tree? And I said, son, God knew the tree was going to grow. He just want to make sure the tree grow right.
Oh, y'all missed that right there.
No.
And when you have shared accountability, as you're growing, you can grow right. Because when you lean a little too far on the left, that joker on your right going to pull your middle lane.
You move
too far to the right, he pull you back left. That shared accountability, all these guardrails, these people in your life is going to help you grow straight and grow right. But it takes you understanding, I'm out of here, I'm tired of you, Jeremy. It takes you understanding this, that there's a great deposit inside of us, and we cannot be ignorant to Satan's devices. We have to understand that we have to be consistent in our pursuit of God. Mm-hmm. Every day that we wake up, we are now activating in our life the God deposit to be manifested in the physical realm in our life. How, Pastor? Not only do I have a strong prayer life, I continue to be a learner. I invite mentorship. I invite shared accountability. I understand that I have to always in my life invite feedback in my life so I can be all that God called me to be.
Amen.
Closing with this, I'm out of here. Feedback is important.
Yes.
And people who don't take feedback don't think they need any feedback.
True.
Yeah. Always invite feedback into your life.
Amen.
My wife, my pastors, my elders, my deacons, my brothers, give me feedback so I can make sure that I'm growing straight.
Amen.
Let's pray here. Let's pray here. Father, we thank you today for this reminder, this encouragement. And Father, we bind the spirit of pride and ego to say that we got it all figured out. God, the Bible says, lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways and all our getting good understanding, acknowledge you. Lord, today we ask, as men of God in this room, that we would lean upon your wisdom, your direction, that we would get out the way so you can be great through us. Thank you for the God deposit. Thank you for Jesus that lives inside of us and the power of the Holy Spirit. Activate our faith, activate our prayer life. Most importantly, activate our obedience to be consistent at the things you call us to be in. We love you today. Forgive us for being lazy, for being stubborn. Forgive us for standing in the way. Open us up, God. Make us humble, usable in the Master's hand.
Yes.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
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 I receive that, Pastor. Thank you.